Okay, everyone, so welcome to the Saturday meditation. I'm going to just talk a little bit more about the issues I talked about yesterday. What is the idea of impermanence or anicca in Buddhism, and how to apply that to meditation, how to kind of make that work for the meditation practice. Meditation is always about the process of letting go. The more you let go, the more you're able to kind of give up, in a sense, almost like renouncing. The more you do that, the more, or the deeper the meditation tends to go. So if you want to use the idea of impermanence or unreliability of the world, etc., to be able to deepen the meditation, the way we should do that is in a way that makes us peaceful. You know that the contemplation works if it makes you peaceful. That's how we kind of figure out that the meditation is working for you, or the contemplation is working for you. So this should be the goal of all contemplation. So you contemplate, makes you peaceful, okay, you know it works. So what that means in practice is very often that you sit down, you start off with a kind of usual routine of making yourself comfortable and at ease, you allow things to settle down, and then to help you to let go a little bit, to kind of get a start in the head start in the meditation that can hopefully take you a bit deeper. You can do a little bit of contemplation once the mind settles down a little bit. You gain the initial mindfulness, the initial clarity that enables you to, to contemplate properly without being too distracted. And that contemplation of impermanence can be done in so many ways. What is interesting in the suttas, the way the Buddha describes a number of things, a number of ways of contemplating, they really come down to the idea of impermanence, to anicca. This is kind of one of the root contemplations, and so many aspects of ways of thinking about the nature of the world really are aspects of this idea of impermanence. So for instance, you have things like the just a general anicca contemplation, but you also have the idea of the contemplating the, you know, the non-delight in the whole world, and that's kind of the idea of the world not being satisfactory, always changing, being out of control. A very obvious anicca contemplation is the death contemplation. Death contemplation is very powerful because things are obviously very impermanent when you're dying. You don't know what's going to happen next. Even little things like illness contemplation and contemplation of old age, these are also anicca impermanence contemplations. And then there are the deeper aspects of contemplating impermanence, which happens within meditation itself. When the world is kind of shut out and all you have left are some very simple states of samadhi or whatever, and you contemplate those things too as impermanent. So there's a large number of degrees, and this is why this contemplation is so powerful. Also because on the surface it's very simple. We can all understand what this is about. It's not really complicated to figure out what this means. So try it out, try out the idea. As I always like to say, when the world is so unreliable as it is now, it's a good time to be fed up with the world. Check out the world. We'll have nothing more to do with the world. And we're going to turn inwards instead and find meaning and happiness and joy and peace inwards, rather than trying to find it where it can never actually be found. This is like turning towards the spiritual path, turning towards the spiritual practice, where actually we have some degree of control, but there's absolutely no control with the world outside. And this is a beautiful way of contemplating. It really helps you to let go. Very similar is the idea of death contemplation. When you die, everything is going to have to go. Everything is going to have to go. And you don't know when it's going to be. And the only time to be ready to die is really now, because you don't know when it's going to be. And once you think, wow, it's actually now is the time I have to be ready, at that moment, when you get that, kind of something happens in your mind, and you let go, because you know now is the only time to let go of things. So this is the idea of understanding impermanence and how to make it powerful. And then see what impact it has on your mind. And if you feel that your mind does become more peaceful, you know, through the act of letting go or whatever. You can feel that there is a letting go. Usually that is experienced as a kind of peace. Yeah, suddenly you become peaceful. Then you know the contemplation has worked. And if it doesn't work, the reason is not that it is hard. The reason is that you're not really accustomed to the idea yet. And you need to do it more times. And the more times you do it, the more powerful it becomes. Until it becomes weaker again. Yeah, that's kind of a maximum point. And then it becomes blunt, and then the instrument doesn't work anymore. And when it becomes blunt, you have to move on to some other instrument of impermanence, some other kind of contemplation of impermanence. And this is how you have to always kind of fine-tune your meditation. Yeah, know what works, feel what works for you. Understand, always investigate. If you don't investigate, if you go too much just by habit, chances are you will not actually make the progress that you want to make on this path, because the instruments become blunt, they don't work anymore. You don't ask yourself the right questions about whether it's working or not. You do things out of habit. These are always problematic. So the idea of investigating, understanding, is fundamental to this path of meditation practice. So try to bring these little things into the meditation. Yeah, these simple contemplations that help you to let go of the world. And you start out letting go a little bit, becoming peaceful. You can do a simple contemplation about how to let go of the world. And then you can also, and this is also very important, to balance out the more negative aspect of seeing things truly, which can be difficult sometimes. You also need to kind of try to bring up a sense of positive mind as well, yeah? All of these ways of bringing about positive perceptions may bring up joy, may bring up happiness, may bring up peace, all of these beautiful things. And then you get this beautiful balance in your mind, letting go and happiness. And that is really where meditation starts to really happen and take off. Anyway, so that's the theory for you. Let's try it out in practice. Okay, everyone, so we just start out as we normally do, just by relaxing and just doing the initial letting go, finding a sense of balance in the body, where the body is nice and at ease. You can sort of feel the body fading away, the body being unimportant. That's the right kind of body for meditation. And then the focus can go into the mindfulness instead, and just into the mind. So find that beautiful balance for the body. It doesn't really matter anymore. Please don't torture yourself. Please don't try to sit in the perfect posture. Please don't try to compare yourself to anyone else here. Just be natural. Do what works for you. This is your time to enjoy yourself, to have a good time. Please don't make the spiritual path another chore. Another difficult thing here. It's supposed to enhance your quality of life, not detract from it. That is when the spiritual path becomes useful and powerful and delightful. So find that beautiful balance. And then take, as always, plenty of time just to relax properly, to allow the body and mind to settle down. And one of the important kind of principles for relaxing the body is to have a sense of self-compassion. Have compassion for yourself. Know that each one of us is kind of buffeted around by all the forces in the world, forces that are out of control, forces that work on us whether we want to or not. And it's very difficult to find the way in this world. Find a good way is really hard. Most people struggle to find a good direction. And so have that compassion, understanding how you are subject to all of these things in the world. And there's often very little we can do about it. And as you have that compassion, you allow yourself to relax. You allow yourself to find that ease of the mind and the body, because you know that you deserve it. then as you gradually settle down, you can sometimes just very gently turn your mind to the ideas that actually help you let go of the world. And again, the idea here is this helping to let go, to deepen the meditation as we go along. So very gently remind yourself of the uncertainty of the world. Remind yourself that there's only one real refuge in the meditation practice. And let go of all that uncertainty. Why do we hold on to things that only last for a very short time? And while they last, they are so uncertain. There's nothing there for us. It's just empty of meaning, empty of purpose, not going anywhere at all. There's nothing worth thinking about, nothing worth holding on to in any way whatsoever. Let it all go. So gently lean your mind in that direction and see if you can find some deeper peace in that way. Okay, everyone, so coming close to the end of the meditation, and as always, just spend a few moments just to review what has happened today, trying to understand the process of this calming of the mind. Okay, everyone, so that's it for now. So sit comfortably, and if we have any questions, now is a good time to ask you. Okay, anyone from here has any comments or questions? Everyone blissed out and happy? Okay. Okay. Say again? If you make it short, it's no problem. Make it short, Eddie. Try to make questions very short, then it's okay. Yeah.
Just now, you know, you talk about calming the mind, Ajahn Brahmali. And last time you gave an excellent, a talk, on impermanence.
Uh-huh.
And you covered the whole thing, you covered the impermanence, you covered no self, you covered the mind, the thinking, the feelings, everything, okay? So my question to you now, but comment plus question, So these are important things for our human well-being, okay? If we have right thinking, okay, feelings, everything, okay, the immune system is high, and then if we have any like a sickness in the body, okay, the healing power is great, this thing, okay, and also, this is my understanding from Buddhism, okay, and also like any like viruses or germ, is when it's high, it's hard to penetrate us, So these are all important things, in Buddhism, You see what I mean?
Yeah.
Yeah. So the thing is, the contemplation we should like the whole package, isn't it? Like mind, for example, you think good, you feel good. You think bad, you feel bad. Yeah. You have to put in more good things to drown the bad things. Mm. You know how the mind works. And for example, say. I'll be quick, yeah. If you're like, sometimes you have an urge to buy certain thing,
Yeah.
Oh, so when you're doing the urge, it's strong, you want to get it, You notice? But sometimes if you really let go a little bit, this thing, then the urge goes down, So all this, we have to learn, all these things, okay? And to help us to calm down and to make ourselves happy. You see what I mean? So that should be the whole contemplations and what?
Yeah. Is there a question or is it just a?
It's just a question plus. So we should contemplate the whole things, isn't it?
Yeah. Yes. Yeah.
Impermanence, the mind thinking, the feelings, everything to make ourselves up. That's Buddha was saying his teachings about suffering and the ending of suffering.
Yeah. Okay. Good. Yeah. I agree.
Sorry. Yeah. Sorry if I'm of nuisance. Thing. Okay. Yeah.
Okay. Let's go on to the. Anyone else? Everyone else? No. Okay, so let's go on to the ones from outside of here. So the first one is from Gloria Wong. Hello, Gloria. Sometimes I have a headache after meditation. Is that necessarily caused by too much force or tension while meditating? Any way to avoid that? Thank you for your teaching. Very often headaches in meditation are caused by too much willpower, and sometimes it can be difficult to really know that you are even using too much willpower. And the reason why that happens is because the mind doesn't really want to be peaceful. And when the mind doesn't want to be peaceful, instead of allowing it time and giving it that patience to settle down, we force it to be peaceful. And that can very often give rise to headaches. This is a very common experience around the world. So I've met many people who have this particular problem. So what you have to do is you have to learn to allow the mind instead to calm down naturally. And this is one of the reasons why we use all of these kind of tools, tools that help us to let go. You know, why do we think? We think because we think the things we think about are interesting or important and this kind of things. It's my thinking, it's my thoughts, etc., etc. So you have to be very patient with yourself. Very useful to do a bit of metta meditation, loving kindness. I really recommend that because that sense of inner well-being is very, very useful to make the meditation work. You want to feel good about yourself. It's very important in this world. And people are often too hard on themselves. Yeah, this is not very useful at all. In fact, it's very counterproductive. Okay, then we have a question from Petra Karman from Germany. So hello, Petra. Dear Ajahn, should I stay on the breath or change meditation object when Piti Sukha arises? Thank you for giving a really inspiring talk yesterday. Sadhu, sadhu. Wow, that's very kind of you to say that. You should. It's marvelous that you are getting some Piti Sukha. That's wonderful. And that means you are certainly doing something very right. You should still stay with the breath because you need some focus for your meditation. And if you just stay with the Piti Sukha, very easily you can lose that sense of focus. So stay with the breath. But it's like you're staying with the breath and the Piti Sukha. They're there together in a sense. And then you allow that to carry on. Yeah, carry on. Take it deeper. Make it more peaceful. Make it more powerful, more profound. And eventually, as this becomes very profound, this is where this what we call nimittas usually start to arise. Yeah, when you see like something like the sun or something like that in the mind's eye. Yeah? And that is kind of where you're heading if you keep on doing this in the right way. Yeah? So that's great. So keep on practicing like this. Then we have a question from Eddie Tim from Indonesia. How do we give rise to enjoyment in meditation as we cannot force it? How do we gradually have better relation with our own mind, even if it is not in a good state? Okay, so if your mind is not in a good state, don't try too hard to meditate. First of all, fix up your mind, first of all, to put it that way. Yeah? Sort out those negative states. Move them into something positive. Forgive yourself. Forgive other people. Don't harbor any ill will or negativity. If you try to watch the breath when you have ill will, it's going to be very bad. It's going to either suppress the ill will or it's not going to work or it's going to lead to headaches, it's going to lead to enormous problems. Don't meditate when the mind is full of defilements. First deal with the defilements, then do the meditation. And things like ill will are not that hard to overcome. Yeah, it basically means we don't have enough compassion for ourselves and other people. We're not good enough at seeing the good qualities in the people around us, even though in the Buddhist community there's so many good things to see. Yeah, we haven't tried hard enough to see those things. So start off by kind of getting your mind in a good state where you feel reasonably at ease. Then when you feel reasonably at ease, then the process can start to happen. And I would really recommend you to do things that give rise to some happy states in your meditation. Yeah, the fact that you are in a good Buddhist community, even though you are live in Indonesia, you're very welcome to be part of the BSWA. Yeah, you can be part of us through the internet or whatever. It's wonderful that we have this reach around the world. I find that really beautiful thing, actually, that we can share things. It's one of the great wonders of the modern internet that we have that opportunity. So you're very welcome to be part of our Buddhist society. We would like to welcome everyone. And if that makes you feel better, use that sense of joy or having the Kalyanamittas around the world. Yeah, here in Perth, you have lots of Kalyanamittas in Indonesia. I know there are heaps of Buddhists in Indonesia. And of course, the Buddha and all the wonderful people that have ever existed in Buddhism, all of those are really your spiritual friends. And lift yourself up a little bit. Yeah, that is where things really start to come together. So best of luck, Eddie. Yeah? And that is it for now. So let's pay respect to the Buddha Dhamma Sangha.